The Lead Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
Good day, my name is Michelle and welcome to Nova's Business Report. With me today, I have a new guest. His name is Max Ricks from Simony Storm. And I'm very happy to say that we will also now have a session to cover some equity market. Max, this is your speciality. Thank you very much. And maybe let's start off with, for our listeners, we will be covering the markets in the US, Europe and South Africa mainly. Max is going to talk to us more broadly from an investor point of view, so not a general overview of markets. So Max, let's just start off with the USA, where things are happening and things are quite confusing. What have you seen of late that is of interest for an investor?
Good morning, and thanks for having me. So it's quite interesting what's happening across the US, Europe and South Africa. Because equities are still climbing, but the surface strength hides growing cracks. So my message is very straightforward. We are in a late cycle. Valuations look stretched, and investors cannot afford to be complacent. So the coming days, dominated by retail earnings in the United States and Jackson Hole Symposium, may well determine whether equities keep floating near record highs or whether the repricing we expect finally arrives. And I would like to start with the US, right? Because equity markets have once again demonstrated extraordinary resilience. Just look at the S&P 500. It's up nearly 10% for the year so far and remains within touching distance. Quarter earnings look spectacular at a first glance, with more than 80% of companies beating analyst estimates. So overall earnings growth running at 11% year on year, but that number conceals a risky imbalance, we think. And almost all of the growth is concentrated in the mega cap tech names, the so-called Magnificent Seven, who delivered earnings per share growth of more than 26%. Strip those companies out and the rest of corporate America is struggling with the margins that are already under pressure. Add to this a labor market weakness. It's visibly cooling with only 73,000 non-farm jobs created in July. There's just more than 100,000 jobs expected. And you have the hallmarks of an economy slowing into a higher inflationary environment due to the tariffs. So we see the bond market is already flashing warning signs. Yields are falling because investors are already pricing multiple Fed rate cuts, while equity markets still trade as if the growth story is unbroken. So both cannot be right.
Sorry, are you saying that the markets are expecting cuts to come despite the expectation on inflation?
Yes, definitely. You still need to keep the consumer happy. And remember, the USA is driven by 70% of the consumer spending. So that is where the GDP is coming from. So we need to take a closer look to the bond markets, because the bond market is telling a bit of more the truth in that sense. So unless Powell doesn't signal an aggressive easing path at a Jackson Hole, I expect a bit of a retracement in equities. So we estimate a downside could between 12 to 15% if the Fed holds the line. And I think crowded growth trades and rotate toward quality franchises with defensible margins and the political tailwinds such as healthcare, defense, infrastructure, linked technology. So we do also remain convinced that AI is a defining structural force, while headline valuations leave little margin of safety. So select opportunities with AI and its related ecosystems, from semiconductors to cybersecurity and data infrastructure, still offer attractive entry points in the US.
Yeah. So the AI angle, that's obviously not only related to the Magnificent Seven, as you call them, but that's across the board, how companies are increasing their efficiencies, right?
Yeah, 100%. Especially if you think about the CapEx cycle I'm thinking of in the next decade. Those things are coming. So you need AI to be still create synergies and be efficient in those times and in those type of things. The big data is there, which should also not be forgotten. So 100%, you're right.
So Max, are you saying from an investor point of view in US stock that the Magnificent Seven still remains valuable? But that there might be other stocks that they should stay clear of.
Yeah, we do think about the supply chain, actually. In AI-related technologies, its related ecosystem, if I may call it that way. The Mag 7 look slightly expensive and the valuations are a bit stretched in that term. But you will still find, especially from semiconductors to cybersecurity and data infrastructure, I wouldn't say it's cheap, but if you think in the long-term horizon, and that is our aim, if we think about investments, then you will definitely find a couple of good gems. And just think about the cybersecurity space. It is well underrepresented. Just think about what companies, banks, and then all other institutions have to spend on a yearly basis because of cybersecurity. We do know safety, but the internet is definitely not safe.
Exactly.
So yeah, there will be a lot of capital deployed into that sector.
Mm. Okay, let's move on to Europe. What have you seen of late? Their economic situation is more dire. France, I hear, is having some real issues. So what can you tell us about the stock markets in Europe?
Yeah, Europe is a quite interesting space to play because equities there have quietly been among the best performers this year. Surprising. Many who had written the region off as a structurally weak one. So just the Euro Stoxx 600 and other regional benchmarks have rallied on the back of a strong defense spending commitment on the one side, cheaper relative valuations, especially if you look into the banking sector, and tentative signs of reform momentum in key economies. But here too, investors should always avoid complacency. So European growth story is not a suddenly reborn. Structurally, issues remain in our view. So productivity is still sluggish. Corporate earnings growth is modest outside a handful of sectors. And for us, Europe is more a tactical play than a strategic overweight. So select financials with which benefit for a more stable rate spreads and industrial companies leveraged to infrastructure demand offer opportunities, but it's not a broad-based bull market in our view. It's more a narrow one. And we approach it with a more disciplined and modest position sizing.
Yeah. Would you also say that there's a more subdued environment as they are seeing the Russia-Ukraine issues unfolding? And once that, well, maybe if it gets sorted, then investment can pick up, that investors are actually holding back at the moment to see what's going to happen?
I tend to agree with your sentiment, and I share that. Yes, I do not believe that the equity markets have learned to live with the war in Europe. If it gets worse, there's a bit of price in some of the sectors, but if we see a bit of peace and we see a couple of deals coming from that side, that it might end in an uptick in equity markets. And we see a bit of a rally in those things. But our view, there is still a lot of things are priced in the equity markets in Europe already.
Okay. Let's move on to South Africa in conclusion, our neighbor country. Things are quite chaotic. Is there any sense to be made on the JSE? And I mean, many delistings happening. What's going on?
Also very interesting space because it's SA offers perhaps the most paradoxical story of all. The JSE index trades above 100,000 points, up more than 22% over the past year, nearly 30% in dollar terms, putting the JSE among the top 5 performing markets globally in 2025. So that sounds like an extraordinary success story, but scratch beneath the surface and you see how uneven the strength really is. The rally has been almost entirely driven by the resource stocks, commodity price tailwinds, and the handful of large offshore earnings names, and benefiting from a dollar-rand perspective, obviously. So domestic cyclicals, particularly in consumer discretionary and smaller financials, have lagged badly. So GDP growth remains virtually flat. Inflation has eased, but not enough to give households the meaningful relief they need. And the underlying domestic economy is nowhere near as robust as the equity index suggests. So corporate earnings results reflect this divergence. APSA delivered a quite decent set of numbers with net interest income up 2%, profit to ordinary equity holders rising around 14%. MTN, yes, there was a bit of a shakeup in the last couple of days, but they still have produced one of the most striking turnarounds of the season, swinging from a $7 billion rand loss a year ago to a profit of nearly $10 billion, driven by stronger revenues of more than 100 billion rand and improved operational leverage. So there's a lot of going on, but still, so SA equities are not uniformly healthy. So investors still need to focus on companies with strong offshore earnings or a robust balance sheet. While underweighting weaker domestic cyclicals where risks are rising. So everything related, very, very much related to the South African economy is a bit in a weak spot due to the happenings there and the weak economic growth in South Africa. So we're looking more into robust balance sheets, decent cash flows, a healthy income statement, a good market positioning, and obviously, yes, offshore earnings and a very well diversified multinational corporation is the equities or the companies we're looking at this point in time.
I mean, it's easier said than done to decouple from the macros. Eventually, it does catch up. Max, maybe in conclusion, yes. What are you saying to investors?
Look, here's the thing. My view is probably unambitious. We are in the late cycles. Equities are slightly expensive and stagflation risk is underappreciated, we think. But we still like risk assets. So this is the time to be disciplined, not euphoric. The global equity strategy is to reduce exposure to high beta growth, increase allocations to sectors with structural demand, such as defense, healthcare, and selective AI infrastructure, and to maintain hedges against inflation and FX volatility. In SA, we stay overweight in resource-linked and offshore earners, such as Naspers, Prosus, Anglo Platinum, while avoiding weaker domestics like coal miners and discretionary retailers. Europe is treated as a tactical satellite with selective exposure to industrials and financials, but not a broad overweight. To conclude, we think that equity markets across the US, Europe, and South Africa are still resilient. But resilience at this stage of the cycle is often a bit of a warning, not a reassurance. Because valuations, as I mentioned, are elevated, leadership is narrow, and policy risks are quite high. So the actions we are taking is tilting the portfolios to quality, maintaining hedges, and avoiding crowded momentum trades. So we will determine whether we preserve capital in what could be a volatile autumn, or this is a time for patience, discipline, and selectively. Thank you.
Max, at the next interview, I'm going to ask you to explain a lot of your technical terms like crowded, momentum trade. But we will get to that in the next time. I've learned a lot. Thank you very much for being my guest. Until the next time.
Thank you so much for having me.
The Lead Story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.